Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. As Laylatul Qadr approaches, many of us wonder how to truly make the most of this sacred night. It's a time for deep connection, forgiveness, and reflection. But how can we balance everything while embracing its blessings? Let's explore how we can carry the spirit of this night into our daily lives. Welcome everyone to your program, The Viewpoint from IRIB English Radio. This is your humble host, Sayyid Ali, and I'm here with my dear brothers in faith. Assalamu alaikum, dear Sayyid Zain. Welcome to your show again.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you for having me.
Assalamu alaikum, dear Sheikh Danesh. Good to have you here.
Thank you very much.
I cannot, you know, resist thinking about this question. Sort of theological question comes to my mind that why there is so much of an emphasis on this particular night, because like billions of people are asleep in that during that night. And it, for me, it's like I want to put it in this phrase, it's a divine lottery. Like so many people are going to, you know, have a great loss on that night. So is it fair that all good blessings are going to be distributed while other people, they have no clue that there's this huge opportunity, divine opportunity? What would happen for those people who are asleep?
What we can say is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and brother would help me out with this, that signs for the awakening of the souls have been presented by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout the universe. And even in our own souls, there are signs to awaken us. So if millions of people or billions of people have put themselves to sleep on their own, that is, it is their decision that I have to limit myself to the material gains of this world, and I'm not going to be awakened, because this is a decision that a person, a conscious thinking person, when he sees the world around him or her and sees the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala around them, they definitely recognize that there's a Lord of this world and universe who is managing the affairs of the people. So when the search for the true religion begins, I think for a majority of the people, if they're open-minded, they will stumble on Islam and give testimony to it being the true religion. And so, but for many of the people, what happens is that out of these millions or billions of people, that they haven't asked themselves these most basic questions, and they have just started living their lives in a routine manner, as happens with many Muslims as well. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given a lot of signs for everybody to awaken themselves. And what we also can add is that when a person accepts Islam and comes in the fold of Islam, his previous sins are forgiven, and he starts off with a clean slate. So there's always an option for the non-believers, for the non-Muslims to come in the fold of Islam and to attain and avail of these opportunities. But this is how I think it is an opportunity for the believers more than the non-believers to return to the fold of Islam and to do tawbah with a sincere heart and to repent on their sins and to start off with a fresh, start that now on I am going to commit myself to being obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the entire year.
Thank you so much. I just also remember that we don't have just one single night as the Qadr night. We've got three nights. Also in some of the other scholarly related stories, some ulama, some scholars, they would, you know, stayed up until late at nights, like doing supplications, like for months to just obtain the blessings of Laylatul Qadr, because there are a probable, or I don't know, a good amount of chance that the 15th of Sha'ban or some other, I guess, dates to be the Qadr's night. It means that there's opportunity for all people, almost. You just need to just wake up and, you know, get it. Do you want to add something, Sayyid?
So Sheikh already said it, but I'll rephrase it. What would be really unfair is what certain religions believe, that because we are a certain race, therefore we'll be saved. You know, we can do whatever we want. And, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for some reason, he just owes us heaven, right? Like certain religions are
free
like
tickets.
That. Free ticket, right? That would be problematic, right? But Islam doesn't say this. Islam says whoever wishes can enter into its folds, right? So it's up to the human being now to choose the religion or not choose the religion, right? So Islam's call is to everybody. The message is out there. Islam's call is to everybody. The message is out there. Now it's up to us to, it's up to everyone to, inshallah, accept it. That said, Islam is the final religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And being the final religion, it has something that no other religions have. And it should have something that no other religions have, right? And the opportunity to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, get the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are more in Islam than any other religion, as it should be. Yeah. Being the final religion given to the highest of all creations, which is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. This is what we expect from the religion anyway, right? Its prayer is unlike the prayers of any other religion. The Quran is unlike the books of any other religion, and it is a very, very special religion, and it's supposed to be like this. So, and it's a call to everybody, all humanity, to come into its fold and benefit and go towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And I guess opportunities comes with responsibilities as well. Like being a Sayyid, it's a great, like fast, great opportunity, but it comes with distributing AD during, you know, Eid al-Qadir, right? And giving us iftari during the months of Ramadan. I'm just kidding. So next question goes for dear Sheikh Danish. Many young people, Sheikh, find it hard to stay up for worship on Laylatul Qadr because of their studies or work or whatever they have to do. What simple advice do you have for those people who want to make the most of this night despite their busy schedule?
Yeah, what we can say is that these nights are something that come after a period of an entire year. And
yeah,
they are the most important nights. And taking time off from other activities, as brother has also mentioned, mm-hmm. is important. And to plan ahead for these nights is important, because as we know from the Holy Quran, it is equivalent to 80 years of ibadah and obedience. And prayers that are asked in this night are expected to be fulfilled, inshallah. And the entire destiny of a person for the next year is to be decided. So yeah, an entire lifetime is at stake. So when we know that, we have to plan it out. Only three nights, for example, the 19th of Ramadan, the 21st and the 23rd, mm-hmm. as has been mentioned in our riwayas and traditions, we have to take time out for them. And so we can, for example, at our places of work, we can maybe ask our superiors that we can maybe appear to for work later than usual. And usually when they understand the importance of a religious festival or a religious occasion for a certain people, usually even superiors who do not believe in that, they accept these requests. And so as students, for example, who may have examinations, they have to plan ahead.
Yeah.
And they have to plan in a certain manner that they have a certain amount of time to
exactly.
pray and do ibadah on this night. This is something that we can say, inshallah.
And I guess it's like a little sacrifice we offer to gain the most of these nights, right?
Inshallah, yes.
So, dear Sayyid, historical narrations tell us that the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family dedicated these nights, the nights of Qadr, Laylatul Qadr, to deep worship, even keeping their children awake to join them. Mm-hmm. So how can we follow their example and make Laylatul Qadr a meaningful family tradition?
So we can try to do something similar, that especially the children who are a bit older,
yeah.
try to, you know, encourage them to stay up. And children generally like staying up. they prefer to stay up. So it's not difficult to convince them to do it. It's difficult to actually, you know, have them do it. So I don't think there should be like any kind of force. There shouldn't be like, you know, if you sleep, you're in trouble or these kind of things. But we encourage them, give them, you know, certain types of food that they would like, make it special for them. You can do some du'as together as a family, and not so much that they get bored and they wanna, you know, but something together, and they like doing things with the family.
Mm.
Otherwise, you know, they can play even, you know, some of the time they can play. So basically it should be a kind of a happy occasion for them. It shouldn't be like, oh, the night of Qadr is coming, I'll have to sit and recite a dua the whole night. And, you know, they should be looking forward to it, that they get to stay up this night. Other nights when their parents would say, you know, you have to go to school, you have to go to sleep. This night they're like, no, you have, you know, stay up. And so it becomes like a positive experience for them. I think that should encourage them to, inshallah. And also, which you already mentioned as well, it's a good idea to do some things together, right?
Mm.
Yes, you know, when a person is alone and they recite the dua on their own, there's perhaps more concentration.
Yeah.
And but it's also a good idea to do some things together as well as a family, to create that atmosphere, get the kids involved as well. So inshallah.
It's like a new journey for them to do as a family, to participate in one of these majalis, one of these, you know, mosque right. sessions.
And it's really important for, you know, it to be a positive experience. Because at this age, at a young age, they're not going to really understand what they're doing so much.
Yes, right? Exactly.
But if it's a positive experience and it's at the back of their mind, then they will look forward to it in the years to come. That they will look forward to it and they'll be able to benefit from it. And it will be like, you know, the seed that the parents have put in, which will help them do it, inshallah.
Okay, dear Sheikh Danish, some scholars highlight the importance of intellectual discussions and, you know, seeking knowledge on Laylatul Qadr. Are there any books or topics you'd recommend for those, you know, looking to deepen their understanding of these special nights?
Yes, for most of the believers, what we can recommend is that ponder over the Holy Quran and after that, the ahadith that have been narrated from the Aimmat Masumeen alayhimus salam. Specifically, if we want to go into knowledge-based topics, we can, for example, look at certain riwayas and traditions. And even books from renowned scholars, for example, we have a complete series on the Holy Quran from Shahid Mutahari, for example. Some of that work has also been translated. So we can pick out some important topics, some important themes that are also Quranic. Also, they have a knowledge-based content. And also they increase our attachment to the religion of Islam. So as you mentioned correctly, that these discussions can also be had on the night of Qadr, because you have to divide your time. The majority has to go to ibadah and prayers and reciting the Holy Quran and asking Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. But if we can plan it in such a manner that one portion of our time can also be had for increasing our knowledge and specifically about the religion, that is, again, something to be cherished.
Also, I think we can ask our questions from like a local scholar, because sometimes even when we read du'as, when we read supplications, there are some questions pops into our minds, right? We want to ask, what does it mean, this part? Or how God can be so merciful despite the fact I have committed a lot of sins, right? Especially in this, at least it happens for me while I'm thinking of the verses of Quran and the du'as. Thank you so much, both of you. May the blessings of Laylatul Qadr touch each of our hearts, bringing peace, guidance, and a deeper connection to the Creator. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
شفعة أنا لها أنا